Continuing with this sort of Makoto Shinkai thing from the previous episode where we discussed his film. Also at Otakon, he did a press conference. So it's different from the Q&A that we were talking about. I did not go to the press conference because I didn't think I could necessarily record audio for it, or maybe it was scheduled the same time as something else. Not really important. The Reverse Thieves have generously donated their recording of the press conference to put in this podcast specifically so we can beat Anime World Order to 100 episodes.
Although we've already established that we're not actually beating them because they have three times the number of episodes that we do anyway.
It's important to have goals in life, Noah.
I never felt that way.
I like to declare arbitrary contests that are easy to win and then win them. So you can actually, if this is horrible to listen to, you can also like read a transcript that someone on Anime World Order who is not me, someone on Anime News Network transcribed all of the questions from this press conference, which you can read through them. And I did before I listened to this recording. They keep the non-spoilery questions sort of to the front. And if I'm editing this, I could just edit in a tag like where I'm saying like, total spoilers, oh my god, and I'll just use that audio over it. And then you have to quick hit pause on your iPod or whatever. Or maybe I'll try and rearrange the questions so that more spoilery ones are at the end. We'll see. And then I'll put like a big break. I'll probably do that. I'll just put like a break before the end that's like, spoiler, 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 spoiler.
Okay. And it's not like there's some crazy twist in this movie that like...
That's true.
It's not like you may want to hear it even though it's spoilery, but going in knowing nothing about the film,
I think I really enjoyed that
really
experience.
Helped with what the film is trying to do.
Right.
I think.
Yeah. That reminds me of I was chatting with my friend Dave and
Dave the Freak Lupo.
Don't call him that. I have to edit that part out now.
Why? I mean that. It's not because I think you're a freak, Dave Lupo. It's because I had a friend from high school who we called Dave the Freak Graylo.
Oh, it kind of rhymes.
That's the only reason.
Oh, I didn't know.
I've said that to you so many times.
I keep forgetting every time. So Dave said, I don't read your column. He was like, hey, what anime would you recommend? I'm like, just read the column. I recommend so much anime. And he was like, I don't read your column because it sounds weird. But not only do I not like spoilers, even just reading the premise in a short review is, like, too much. I don't want to know anything about it going in. And I was like, that makes sense to me. Like, and I'll tell you why. Because I had a theater teacher when I was at community college, and he said that he used to have a friend who would take him to plays back when they were in school or when they were actors in the 70s or something. And his friend would, like, not quite blindfold him, but almost. He would take him to see a play where when the curtain rose, my teacher like didn't know the title of the play, what it was about, who was in it, mm-hmm. how long it was going to be. Like, zero expectations. So whatever happens from that on, he's going in with like a totally fresh mind. And I think that's so hard to get in today's world of like being flooded with media all the time. The only equivalent experience that I've really had, like, sometimes I've seen films at festivals with friends where it's like, I don't really know what this is about, but we're going to see it and whatever. Or if you watch something that's a compilation of short films, then you don't really know what each part's going to be. But more concretely in my life, like when I was a kid, after Saturday morning cartoons were over, usually the Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon super movie would start. And as a kid, I didn't necessarily know that much about famous movie titles.
Sure.
So even before you get the title of a film, you usually get, like, the credits come up. But if I'm a kid, I don't know any of the stars anyway. There are a bunch of establishing shots, and then maybe the title. And if you don't know that title, it doesn't mean anything. And so then it's like, well, what's this going to be about? Or, more accurately, when I watched Sundance Channel when I was in community college before I went to film school, I didn't always read, like, the direct TV description of whatever the film was. Or even if there was one, it wasn't, like, very specific necessarily. So I had I would just leave it on that channel a lot. And then just whatever the next movie was, like, not really read the title, not know how many stars it had, not, you know, not what it was rated, and just see, like, what does it tell you about the film? There's that wonderful sort of moments of what, how is this being established? What can you guess about it from the opening and that kind of thing? So it's going in totally blank.
Well, you're certainly right. It's very difficult, if not impossible, depending on your demographic, to go into something cold.
I used to, when I was downloading anime by torrents and not sort of streaming, because when you stream it, you can kind of get a thumbnail and there's a description that you maybe skim and then stream something. But when I downloaded torrents from like random kind of sites when I didn't understand how Anime Suki worked, I would just look at what are the top downloads, look at the ones with the most hilarious title, and then download those. And that works out very poorly sometimes in anime.
Well, that's just it. It seems like this is a method where you have big wins and big losses.
Right, like it could be Bubblegum Crisis, which sounds hilarious and is as awesome, but not because it's hilarious. Or it could be
it's awesome because it's hilarious too.
But not for the reason, not because of Bubblegum.
No, it has strikingly little to do with Bubblegum.
Or the opposite, the Dark Rabbit has 9 lives, or Dark Rabbits Have 9 Lives.
Yeah, that was a bust.
That was horrible.
That was a bust.
That was horrible.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have very specific interests, and I did go to film school. I watched all manner of genre. If something doesn't cater to me, well, I mean, I'll watch for two reasons, right?
Yeah.
If it's clearly something that I'm interested in, if it's genre, if it's, you know, if it's something that I think that I will like, right?
Yeah.
Based on the setting. Or if it comes highly recommended to me.
By someone that you know pretty well.
Well, by someone that I know pretty well, or just, you know, in general.
Mm.
For instance, if someone were to pitch it to me,
yeah,
I would have zero interest in The Wire.
Really?
Your brother made us sit down and watch it.
Yeah, he was like, too bad, you're watching this.
Yeah.
And yeah, recently I've had luck recommending things to a certain friend where it's sort of like, no, you need to see this title. Like, you specifically, and I've known you for some number of years, I know the kinds of things you like, and without me telling you anything about it, I'm just saying you need to see this. And I think that's what Dave was going for, and he was correct, because I'm like, oh, I know Dave's taste to a certain extent. I think he would like Bamboo Blade or whatever. Yeah, he really likes Bamboo Blade. Watches it with his wife.
Okay. Well, and that's what the column has done for us, I think, is that now we have to watch so much stuff. Sometimes you get Oedo Rocket.
Yeah.
Right? That's
totally
great.
Totally freaking sweet.
Totally freaking sweet. We would have almost, there's no way we would have seen it, I think, otherwise.
No, probably not.
Sometimes you get Popotan.
Crap. But
it's just how it goes.
But then we become the people after a minute. Why it's kind of a bad, I don't know. I feel like I'm working at some cross purpose where actually writing the column is at a horrible disadvantage because I don't know what, especially from the beginning, I didn't know what the forum readers might like. And even now, I don't know specific forum readers very well, so it's impossible to make any but the most general recommendations.
Well, that's why I keep telling you, you got to ask these people when they complain. You've got to ask them what they like, you know, what title they think meets the criteria that this title does not.
A few of them, a few of them comment a lot, and I feel like I've gotten to know one or like several of the readers' taste where I'm like, oh, I know Vash Fanatic will like this probably, except for sometimes she really surprises me, and I know Megiddo will freaking hate it, although Megiddo's taste has become more overlapping with mine lately.
Ho ho,
that makes me feel like I'm becoming corrupted somehow. He probably doesn't listen to this show unless he listens to it to hate me, like, oh, my arch nemesis exposed another podcast. All right, here's the Makoto Shinkai press conference.
Hello everyone, my name is Makoto Shinkai, I'm the television director. So thank you for coming today. I can't speak English very well, so I need you. So please ask me whatever you want, please.
I'd like to go ahead and get into the Q&A session, if you do not mind. There seems to be a difference in titles between the Japanese and English for Hoshi Okonomo. You actually mentioned it when you were introduced in the opening ceremonies on Friday. Something about the star that we have voices from deep below. Would you be able to explain if that is an actual difference and why the decision was made to go and take that direction?
The children who changes last voice, lost voice from deep below is actually the subtitle put on the Japanese title. And currently, when we're releasing it to the English market, we are using that one as sort of temporary means of a title. So there is in the future a possibility that these titles might change more to the direct and equal translation of the Japanese title.
I wasn't able to make the Q&A, but I understand that folks there asked what your literary and filming influences were. So I thought I'd re-ask the same question for this group.
Okay.
What your literary and film influences are?
よく聞かれる質問で、たくさんあるんですけれども、まずアニメーションで言えば一番大きな影響は、スタジオジブリの宮崎駿監督の小作品です。特に僕が中学生の時に立て行くの小学館は、自分のアニメーションを作りたいと思ったきっかけでもありますので、大きな影響を受けています。文学で言えば、村上春樹に大きく影響を受けていると思います。まず、そんなところ。
First of all, as an anime, I'm getting a lot of inspiration from Studio Ghibli's Mr. Miyazaki's old works. If you are asking particularly to choose one, then that would be The Spy in the Castle, Rasputin. And for the books, I would be getting a lot of inspiration from Haruki Murakami.
I'm interested, you seem to have a very small staff now, and I'm wondering if you would wish you had any of that staff available when you did Voices of a Distant Star.
それはないかな。あの、星の声は、実製作でしたので、他に、手段がなかったので、声も含めて全て自分でやったんですけれども、それも含めて、満足感があったんですね。自分一人で物を作ることができたという。で、今はたくさんスタッフがいるわけですけれども、一人で部屋で物を作るということが、どうしても、ね、長くつけていて寂しくなってきてしまうので、スタジオが、なんていうのか、一つ家族みたいなものですから、やっぱりスタッフと一緒に作っていきたいと、今は思っています。そうですね。星の声の子にたくさんスタッフがいたらどうかっていうのは、家庭の話ですから、あんまり考えたことはない。
Well, right now, as you have said, I have some staff people who are working with me right now. But in comparison, when I was doing the Voices of Distant Star, that was a pretty much a self-made indie film. And the way including the fact that I even voiced it, showed that it was a handmade by myself. And I did at that time felt a very good deep satisfaction that I was able to make this whole film by myself. On the other hand, currently, I already have a staff member almost like my family. So when I'm working alone right now, sooner or later, I will be feeling a little lonely. So rather, I feel like I'm going back to the family studio. If you ask me whether I would like, if I ever think about the time when I was making the Voice of the Distant Star, if I wanted to have the current staff with me, that's kind of something of what if type of question, and I think that kind of question never actually came to my mind. So I never really thought about it.
Is there a goal or a purpose that you want to achieve both as a professional and as a personal goal for your latest movie, Koshiro Kodomo?
I'm not sure if my answer would be answering to your question, but the children who chase lost voice from the deep glow was perfected early this March, and it was released in Japan in May. So it's been only 3 months since it has completed. Currently, I'm still not sure what I should do from here on. Currently, I get this opportunity to go to see the reaction from the audiences, including Japan and then going all abroad. And I would like to use this opportunity to think and decide on what I would do after this, both professionally and personally.
Your previous films have had simple themes and complex emotions, such as distance or time. What would you say is the overarching theme of Koshiro Kodomo?
一言で言葉ではなかなかできないから短く短編集を作っているわけですけれども、ただあえて一言で言うとすると、その喪失をどう乗り越えるかということをテーマにしています。失ったものをどうやって失ったことからどうやって乗り越えるかということをテーマにしています。It's very difficult to put a theme into one word. If I can do that, of course, I would be making 2 hours animation. However, if you want me to say it, then that would be how to overcome from the things lost, one's sense of the deep loss, how to overcome from it. That would be the theme.
The action scenes in your new film demonstrate a new aspect of your filmmaking that we haven't yet seen very much of. Can you tell us a bit about perhaps what sort of films and other works you may have looked at in establishing your action style?
まあ、ちょっと前に研究した宮崎駿作品もそうですが、今回は特に剣を使っての戦闘シーンが多かったので、ルドフ剣心とか割と見ましたね、参考にしました。あと、日本のそのチャンバラ時代劇の漫画で、無限の住人という作品があるんですけど、アニメ化もされましたが、何年か前に、その作品もだいぶ参考にしました。
As I said earlier, of course, I did study on a lot of Miyazaki's works as well. But since we were using the sword this time for the action scenes, I studied a lot of Rurouni Kenshin, Samurai X. And also studied a lot of Japanese chambara, the sword fighting TV shows in general, genre. And among it, there is a particular called Mugen no Junin. This one has been put into animation a couple years ago. And I also watched this one in order to get the idea.
Unlike a lot of other animators working today, you started your career animating on computers rather than using hand-drawn animation. What do you think of computer animation as opposed to hand-drawn animation?
で、その 3D アニメーションの作り方と、ほとんど同じです。
ですから僕も最初からほとんど偶然ではあるんですけど、手法としては日本の 2D アニメーションと同じ作り方をしていたと思うんですね。一部にコンピューターを使うか使わないかという違いだけ で 2D という意味では同じ作り方をしてきました。まあ、一方でそれはアメリカのそのピクサーやドリームワークスみたいな 3DCG アニメとははっきり違う手法なわけですけれども、 3DCG アニメに関しては多分今後間違いなく 3DCG アニメの方が世界的にも日本のマーケットの中でも主流になっていくとは考えています。それによって 2D アニメーションというのは長い期間で見ればだんだん数が減っていく、いつかはもしかしたらなくなってしまうのかなというふうにも思うんですけれども、ただ僕は個人的にはいい作品でさえあれば 2D であろうが 3D であろうがどちらでもいいと思うんですね。ただまあどちらが好きかと言われれば子供の頃から馴染んできた 2D の方が好きですので、僕自身は 2D アニメーションを作り続けていきたいとは思っています。ただまあいつかなくなってしまってもね、それはまあ仕方がないことなのかなと思っています。
Although it's been said commonly that I started working in a computer animation, but when I started out, I actually, upon making the characters, I drawn with pencil and pen, and I have scanned it into the computer. So by means of tradition, the method I use just happened to be exact same how the 2D animations are made. On the other hand, as you said, yes, 3Ds are totally different looking and different method from what we do in 2D.It's totally different from the ones that Pixar or DreamWorks or some of the Disney's are doing. And it is true that those are more of a trend today, though there are more of those made right now for the movie-wise. And I feel if that's the way the direction that generally goes, and maybe even someday 2D might disappear, that's something unavoidable. But personally,I do love 2D animation style. That's something I'm more familiar with growing up watching it. And I definitely like to keep on drawing it with a 2D animation by myself.
I've understood that you've studied Japanese literature in college, and there is an introspective literary quality to a lot of your work, particularly in the way that you use voiceover and monologue. Do any of these particular live-action filmmakers or directors or cinematographers that you admire, and is live action a medium that you want to pursue in the future?
ですね、映画ライブアクションを見ることは見るんですけど、あまりこう映画監督として見るわけではなくて、一観客として楽しんでみるだけですので、バットマンや、そうですね、いつも公開されるハリウッド映画というのは季節に1回ぐらい見に行くんですけど、その中でも特に影響を受けていると言える実写監督は日本の岩井俊二という監督がいるんですが、彼の絵作り、光と影を効果的に実写で唱える絵作りにはとても影響を受けていると思います。
Well, speaking of the live action, I do go to see the movie and then enjoy it, but that one I go just as a one ofyou, just one of the viewers of the movie and enjoy it. I probably go see the Hollywood movie like Batman or something like that once a season. If you ask me if I'm ever inspired by or to all in on any particular action movie director or in that field, that would be the director named Junji Iwai. Junji Iwai.And his way of using light and shadow is very inspiring.
You seem to be a notable exception in that you're someone who came from the video game industry into the anime industry. It seems like a larger trend seems to be people going from anime to video games. But what do you think the anime industry could do to either maintain or help attract great talent?
確かに特に日本では、アニメ業界よりはゲーム業界の方が会社として安定している場合が多いので、なかなかアニメ業界での待遇に満足できない人がゲーム業界に行くことが多いというのは話は聞いています。その流れを止
めるにはどうしたらいいのかっていうと、僕個人はあまり考えたことはないんですね。本番に集まってくれているスタッフはアニメーションを作ることが好きだというスタッフたちばかりですので、もちろんこう彼らにきちんと生活できる待遇を、与えることは重要なことだと思って、僕たちのスタジオもきちんと対応をしようと思って工夫してはありますけれども、全体の流れとしてそういう流れを止めるためにはどうしたらいいのかっていうのは、僕はアニメ業界を代表しているわけではないし、あまり考えてはいません、まあ、ただ魅力的なアニメーションを作って、それをこう世の中である程度認めてもらうことができれば、アニメ業界に入りたいと思ってくれる人は増えるでしょうから、僕にできることがあるとしたらそういうことかなというか。
はい、True, it is, at least in Japan, from what I see, video game industry companies are much more stable, and they tend to treat their workers much better than the way animation industry is treating their working people. So, however, the people who, the staff currently working with me, are those people who really loves making the animation. So, of course, I treat them so that they can live working, making the animation, but that's about what I can do right now personally. When you ask about how the industry in general can change this trend, that's something I never really gave a big thought about it, since I'm not even the industry's representative or anything. But personally, I think if we can keep on making the great animation film that people or society really think that is great, then perhaps maybe we can increase the number of the people who would be more interested in making the animation.
Sorry. No, all right. Your movies usually have a slightly ambiguous ending. Is this intentional? And what feeling do you wish the viewers to get at the ending of your films?
特にそのハッピーエンドなのか、もしくはお悲しいエンディングなのか、どちらともとれず終わらせ方にしている作品が確かに多いですね。今回の星を子供はもう少し明確な、それほど曖昧ではない終わり方をしていると思うんですけど、過去作品はおっしゃるようにある種曖昧な終わり方をしています。それはそのなんだろうな、観客自身がそれをハッピーだと思うのか、それをこう悲しいと思うのか、観客に委ねるようなエンディングの作品にしたいと思ってたんですね。でそういうタイプの作品というものが日本のアニメーションにはあまりメジャーではないからです。でこう自分自身が作品を作るのであれば、他のアニメーションにはないような鑑賞の仕方ができる作品を作りたいと思っていましたので、例えば観客自身の気持ちを映すような鏡のようなタイプの作品にしたいと思って前作までは作っていました。今回はもう少し明確なものになると。
Yes, as you have said, in my works in the past, the ending was purposely made kind of questionable about whether the impression was a happy end or whether it was supposed to be the sad end. But that's because I wanted to have the audience think about the ending by themselves, whether it was a happy or whether it was a sad ending. In Japan, that is not the major style of how the films are ending. And upon making of my own film, I wanted to make something that is unique compared to the other works. On the other hand, my children who chased the lost voice from the deep below, on this one, we have made the ending a little bit more clear and clearer compared to the past works of mine.
Thank you. Looking back now that the film was premiered and looking back at the reaction received, was there anything... looking back now the film is premiered and you've seen the reaction of audiences, is there anything you would have changed about the film?
先ほどその日本では5月に公開が始まったと言いましたけど、この3ヶ月プロモーションをやってきて、今であれば最新作の星を子供も、こんなふうに言ってしまうのなんですが、2倍ぐらいうまく作れると思います。直すべきポイントというのはもちろんあると思います。でもっと言えば前作の秒速5センチメートルという作品も今であれば5倍ぐらいうまく作れるでしょうし、その前の作品は10倍ぐらいうまく作れると思います。時間が経てば経つほどこうするべきであったというのは見えてきますが、
まあ、ただ観客はね、日本の観客は特にもうお金を払って見てくれているので、あのこういうことはあまり言わないようにしているんですけれども、ただまあもちろん反省点も、ね、たくさんあります、毎回。
Yes, I always have certain regret or rethinking after the, as the time goes by. As I said earlier, the French work was finished in March, May, and it's been 3 months since I've been keep on watching the reaction from the audience. So if you say, if I say so, then yes, if I try to make remake it, probably I can make something maybe twice as much more fun. Even for the as work of the 5 centimeters per second, if I were to make that one over right now, maybe I might be able to make it more, 5 times more interesting. Or the works well older than that, maybe I can make it 10 times more interesting.